Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Rise from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
There's a lot of fucking nonsense in this one.
That's gonna be great. All right, we're
ready to go. Burning bright.
All right, that's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. This guy is real chipper over here to my left.
My name is Monka of the Sayres people.
Sayres.
Yes, please come learn to play the tambourine, young Mark Santfield.
This is great.
Yes. Why is it every person who is touched by a good alien becomes lame and stupid?
I don't know. It's the Cat Stevens effect.
Literally every time a good alien touches somebody, they're wearing like crystal earrings and they're learning the tambourine next to some like fat 45-year-old naked woman in the middle of Tempe, Arizona.
I mean, that's the kind of alien you want to be touched by, you know?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think I'd rather be zip-zopping around the galaxy with the cool-ass, badass reptilians.
Yeah. All right, well, we're not here to talk about reptilians. We'll discuss them briefly,
right,
but we're talking aliens.
Right, learning right.
I'm sorry. We'll get to that later.
We got aliens, the archons, and a whole bunch of research. Henry, I just want to ask
you. This is our alien update.
Yeah, alien update. Yes. How many days this week did you wear pants? Because Alien Research Week is always a little bit interesting over there at the Zabrowski household.
Let's just say yesterday got real primal in the apartment. Because that's where, literally, I'm just sitting, eating hard-boiled eggs, totally naked. I stand at my kitchen table to do research now. Mm-hmm. I stop laying in bed. Because it keeps me active.
Really?
It's my new exercise. So I'll walk back and forth across the kitchen as I listen to Coast to Coast.
So you basically get the same amount of exercise as somebody in solitary confinement.
Yes.
You just pace around. You can just open the door and you just walk around streets.
I follow the 9/11 truther exercise regimen,
right,
which is just like I shout. Yeah. at my you know, the backyard. I open up the window and be like, Does anybody care about the truth? And then that gives me the cardio I need.
Right.
And then the rest, and then it's fretting and then doing pull-ups on my bathroom, door jam.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing.
And then you touch your hand to your head, similar to Columbo, multiple times. And then I
slam a Philly cheesesteak.
Right. Yeah. That's perfect. So let's just start with the archons. I'm getting my Nerd Alert button ready to go.
So what we're doing with this episode is that all the things that we've learned of the last 6 months, we've done a lot of heavy shit recently. And so now it's like, but I think it's important for us to adjust our, we've been focusing a lot on this realm.
Yeah,
on
sure.
This reality.
Death, destruction,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On America and like what, you know, all stuff that is out of our control.
Right.
These alien races are going to put the control back into our hands. And this is what we've learned over the last couple
of months. We're in more control of the alien races than child pedophile rings?
Absolutely.
We could be if we have the right tools to harness our inner power that was within us all along.
Yes.
Okay. And of course, by tools, you mean fanny pack? Because I feel like you need a fanny pack to really get through deep into this subject.
You need an old Walkman, first of all. You need an old Walkman, and you need a mom's basement.
Ah, yes. I see.
Old power. You'd be surprised the kind of power you can really summon if you're sitting alone in a Barca lounger in your mom's basement.
Yeah. If you're not told about dinner at 5:30 every single day, if you're not told, come upstairs for dinner, and then you immediately yell, not now, mother, not now. Oh, but it's Baked Potato Wednesday. I'll be up
momentarily. Do you not know the agenda? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't know Salisbury Steak Saturday.
All right, so let's do it.
Yeah. Start with the Archons. So the Archons are microscopic evil aliens that attach themselves to our brains, right?
Well, we'll get into that. Let's get a nice little primer here. First of all, the word Archon means ruler or lord in the old Greek, but according to an article that I read, you should never refer to them as Archons.
Why
because
not?
That gives them power. If you call them an Archon, then you're already acknowledging that they are your ruler or your lord. The article that I read, they prefer to call them ankle biters.
Got to belittle them.
Ankle biters.
And the thing is that, but does that not anger them?
Let's
do a brief overview. Like these Archons, what is the layman thing about Archon? Right? Is that they are aliens that we can't see.
Well, there are two interpretations.
Yes, but I mean, like, just general. Archons are microscopic aliens that could, if they are aliens.
Or bed bugs. Are they bed bugs?
This is already confusing.
Okay. Because now I feel itchy.
You're trying to confuse it. I've got all this stuff all laid out.
All right, Marcus. Yeah.
So, first of all, the interpretation one that we have is that they are, in fact, aliens, and that the reptilian agenda, as we know it, is actually a smokescreen created by Sumerian theocrats to throw us off the trail of the Archons that are also called the Anunnaki, depending on who's writing about it.
So who are the Sumerians?
The Sumerians is one of the Earth's oldest civilizations.
And the Sumerians have those books. There was these
cuneiform
tablets. They have these tablets that was called, like, Hideka Badanta, which is like this thing. It's like they have these things in jars, which are the last known written thing. It's the first written history of the human race.
They got pickled documents? They got pickled documents over there?
It's called the Nag Hammadi.
Yes.
But we'll get to that way later.
But that's just
okay, Marcus. Continue to lay
I've got an outline here.
All
because
right.
If we don't follow the outline, then we're going to devolve into madness like we always do with the alien episodes.
Okay, you're right. Just don't get me started because as soon as
you're started. You are well and started.
I have been shouting alone. Literally, my girlfriend was sitting. I was like reading from the Say Raise agenda, which we'll get to. Then my girlfriend was like, stop it. I was like, but you don't understand. It's bigger than us.
Leave him.
So
no longer date him, your poor girlfriend.
So the alien interpretation says that there are two types of Archons. One of them is reptilian in appearance.
Okay.
But the other looks like an unformed baby. Or fetus, as we call them. It's partially...
it's you little ankle biter. What an adorable...
I ain't no baby. I rule you.
It's an Archon. Just reminds me, I just feel like I would watch that the same way I watch all the Chucky's movies, where you're just like, kick it! Kick the doll! It's a fetus! Kick the fetus!
You can't rule over me! I rule over you! I'm not!
It looks to me like you can't live out of a womb, so...
Bring me some pureed peaches, please!
Well,
I don't have teeth to eat proper solid food! I'm an Archon!
Yeah. I'm like a little... ankle numbler, something like that.
Further beyond the fetus appearance, it's also they say that it's partially living, partially non-living, and has gray skin and dark, unmoving eyes.
Now, when I say it's partially living and partially non-living, that is like a common thing in alien literature when we read about it, how they just say a thing that makes no sense. Because you could just say it's partially living and partially non-living, and you'll be in a group of alien experts, and they'll go like, yes, exactly.
Well, I mean,
like, what does that even mean?
I'm sort of reminded of the 600-pound woman. Half of her skin is dead. Know, so she's actually living and half dead.
That's just a sad American reality.
So I can see, but I can see now the fetus, so it's just like half like brown and hard, and then the other half is just living the dream.
Huh. Kissel just dropped some science on us.
Nailed it. Well, when it comes to
this. Someone's got to make some sense.
So interpretation two is that they're actual psycho-spiritual parasites.
Now, this is from our favorite website, Bibliotheca Pleiades. Yes.
Bibliotheca Pleiades, which, by the way, I think I'm starting to figure out what it's all about. I cannot tell you yet what it's all about, but the longer that I read it, the more it's about.
There is a gigantic. No, I know what you're talking about.
It's about
it has
energy,
an agenda.
Yeah. I think. I think it's about energy.
All I know is it's impossible to read on an iPhone. That's the only thing I know about their website.
So they say in Gnostic cosmology, and by the way, the Gnostics, they'll come up a lot in talking about
because
the Archons.
They say that these are the wise ones of like pre-Catholic, like it's a pre-Catholic secret society that knew the secrets of the universe, and they believed that our galaxy, there was a living entity called Sophia that was essentially an alien-like entity that lived at the center of our galaxy that all life shot out of, which was called the benevolent creator god or something like that. It was called like the ultimate benevolence.
Sophia? Yeah. It sounds like a hairy Italian woman. No, we all didn't come from that.
We're just fucking meatballs that came from her big old sauce pot.
No, Sophia. Ah.
I dropped a gnocchi. You're like, thank you for giving us life.
Well, Gnosticism was at one point the prevailing belief in Christianity. It was dedicated completely to the pursuit of knowledge, nothing else. Actually, a fairly kick-ass religion as far as Christian theology goes. But they believed that the Archons were a species of inorganic beings that emerged from the solar system prior to the formation of the Earth. They are actually cyborgs. Inhabiting the planetary system exclusive of the Earth, Sun, and Moon, which is described as a virtual world, which we'll call the Stereoma once right now.
Okay.
And that they construct by imitating the geometric forms emanated from the Pleroma, which is the realm of the generators, the cosmic gods.
Now, we're supposed to have understood everything you just said, right?
So at this point, they either look like bedbugs, they look like Guado from Total Recall, or they look like Dolph Lundgren from Universal Soldier.
But the big thing to remember overall is that they're evil.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the Archons, they are a genuine species with their own proper habitat. They may even be considered
godlike. They live in the shadow of Saturn.
Yes.
That is true.
That's very true. They live or lurk in the shadow of Saturn. The one I read, they made sure to say that they lurked.
They lurk. Yeah. Because it's like I stand and look. It's like, depending on my mood, I'm either standing or lurking. Like, I'll stand and wait for the bus, but sometimes it's fun to go like, hey, is this the B-54?
Yeah. And I feel like I know you guys are talking English, speaking English, but I feel like a kid and when you're just, your dad's talking about taxes.
You guys,
like,
you know, this is say, guys at home, take notes. All right, just jot some quick, Drake, whatever it is that still pops up and sticks in your brain as we're saying, and then I want everyone to play a game at the end of this podcast. Put that list up on the Facebook on the Facebook group, see. I want to see what you gleaned from this.
I think
episode.
We're just gonna have a bunch of fan art with a big fat Sophia shitting out meatballs. That's what it's gonna be.
No, that's a great game. Yeah, take notes and then post on the Facebook page what you think we said.
What we think you said. Okay, let's go back into it.
So, the origins of the Archons. So, once upon a time. On Earth, human...
No, Henry, awaken.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Human beings, of course, were actually these amazing divine beings that were fully telepathic, multidimensional. We could simultaneously perceive and navigate between the dimensions.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we were fucking all up on Nug.
Man, we didn't do it right. We were born at the wrong time.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome to be a human.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Back then.
You didn't need. Yeah, it was. This is like 1969, but a million years ago.
Yeah.
All girls with hairy bushes and then banana breasts, and like dudes with fucking long, lanky, blonde hair.
Oh yeah.
So we built all of our cities, all of our technology, worked in harmony with the Earth's magnetic fields. We were in full alignment with our, and all of these words are capitalized, divine inner self.
Oh.
And we, yes, yes. And the Archons, the, who have always been present, we could shrug them off.
You take care of me, I'm a baby. Oh, fooled you, I'm an Archon.
Oh, I'm shrugging you off. I'm shrugging you off.
Wendy, I told you to stop bringing every fetus you see home, goddammit.
Yes, it says here, right here, that the ankle biters, we'll just keep calling them ankle biters, could be shrugged off with a single human thought because that's how powerful we were.
Yes, exactly. But
be away with you, ankle biter.
Yeah. I will go back to my cradle in the shadows of Saturn.
Just seems like they would be very, they would never be around. If you see them, you just immediately think, Get
out of here. Yeah. Well, hey, get out of here.
Gross.
Yeah, well, here's how they got one over on us.
Uh-oh.
The ankle biters, they are the most clever manipulators in the entire universe. All they know is manipulation and deceit. That's all
It's they because
know.
They have no legs. They need somebody to do everything for
Technically,
them.
Technically, it's evolution. Technically, if you are in the shape of a tiny baby, you need to level the playing field.
Yes, you
through deceit and manipulation or... fucking learn how to play the guitar. How do you think Rick Ocasek got laid at all? He learned how to play the guitar, and sometimes you just gotta be funny. If these Archons, ankle biters, just were funny, then they maybe they would have been. They wouldn't have need to follow this life of manipulation.
Or if they could write a kick-ass song like "Just What I Needed." I say, oh, just what I needed.
Just what I needed. Your soul. It's your soul that I need. Ooh, no, I'm sorry. Jesse's girl. I wish to control her. Yes.
Well, I was going to tell you to get out of here, but those are some kicking licks, little fetus weird thing.
So the Archons, they devised a devious plan to carefully, very carefully manipulate humans that were in power in order to get the Archons on top. So they put forth, they manipulated these humans into testing this new system of energy at the North Pole. The whole thing went disastrously wrong, and this extremely...
Santa dropping the ball.
What could go wrong?
The entire device exploded, caused tremendous cataclysms, all of the ice caps melted, the entire world was flooded, destroyed every coastal area on the planet.
I would just love to see Santa and the elves, like in Terminator 2, like, you know, when all the their skin melts off the kids, you know, and they're just like, what is happening? I was just inventing Christmas for the... Oh, my God!
It's just like, oh, no! And all the skin melting off. It's like...
Yeah, and you know what? We do know. I mean, you may be saying, hey, Marcus, this sounds a lot like the fall of Atlantis.
Yes.
You would be wrong, for the actual fall of Atlantis happened thousands of years after this original great flood.
So did this kill the dinosaurs?
No, this was after
they're
the
way
dinosaurs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs,
okay.
A million
dinosaurs
years
died in a polar shift that the Say Rays are trying to stop from happening ever again, but we'll talk about that next chunk.
Yeah, we'll get to the Say Rays here in a minute.
Yeah.
So, an actual amount of death and destruction, unimaginable. Everyone in the entire world, they were heavily traumatized, and so, the incredible trauma of the experience... This caused the loss of perception within humans. So we were no longer attached to
we lost
the
that edge.
Oh,
yeah, we lost our edge.
And I was like when Batman had his back broken in the third stupid Batman movie.
Sure.
And he was, this is us at the bottom of the prison that was really easy to get out of in the middle East. Yeah. So this is when so if we're going to liken Batman to this, and so it's like the Archons, ankle biters, are like Bane if Bane was like a pile of babies.
Yeah. One big, I mean,
okay, cool. Interesting.
Dangerous. Yeah, that was interesting with Batman. They threw him down in that little tunnel there, but then they were just like, but there's just enough steps. There's just enough like rocks.
Oh, they were begging him
to
get out of there.
Yeah, they wanted him to.
They didn't know they had Batman.
Yeah.
So the Archons, they are able to feed on human grief. So they were able to gather a huge amount of low-frequency energy, which allowed them to feast on the suffering of humans and to grow even more powerful. And once they grew even more powerful, they were able to subliminally program humans to be blind to their presence. And if any person mentioned the ankle biters of their dark influence, they would be mocked.
disbelieved and ridiculed.
Oh. I like how this guy has built his own embarrassment into his theory about aliens. But honestly, I will say seriously again, I do believe there is a conspiracy to I do believe in aliens.
Yeah.
I do believe we have had contact with aliens, okay?
It's
shut
possible.
Up.
It's possible. I don't know.
All right, this is a free speech zone. But I do believe there is a conspiracy to ridicule these people because it just so happens to be every person that is saddled with the every time an alien shows up and makes one of these people an ambassador to the universe, be like, now you go and explain to your government about the real story that's happening in the shadows of Saturn. And he's like, he goes to show up, and there's something about that download of information that makes these people lame and stupid.
I mean, just again, it's just the green background on all the websites.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Green background, yellow text. Stop it. Stop
it's
it,
It's just
guys.
Insane.
It right. hurts my eyes.
How do you consume grief? That's what I want to know. Is that what... Okay.
Like yeah, a, then like what I do is thing. I just eat like three orders of dumplings.
Right. Yeah. So, the old Zabrowski grief order. Yeah.
So finally, in the Archon's most brilliantly sinister move, they reprogrammed humans to resemble their own ego, which caused us to be fearful, jealous, petty, dishonest, brutal, enslaving, murderous, unforgiving, punishing.
Okay.
And so since the day that the Archons reprogrammed us, we have been like Batman, trying to get out of the well.
Now, this is the thing. So, Archons do one of two things. They either make you evil.
Yes.
Or they make you weak.
Yes.
So, we all are suffering from these ankle biters making because we're too afraid to expose the truth.
Yes.
So, that's what the Archons have done to us. But the Archons have also manipulated someone like, let's say, a Barack Hussein Obama, right? Who is a pile of babies in a black man costume,
yeah.
right? Who is running our country into the ground, right? And that's the other side of the Archon.
Yeah.
We're fine.
So,
I'm just playing the perspective of the man from Bibliotheca Le Pleiades.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is three times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year, thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text, and that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse picks over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
So how do we know about the Archons? Yes. And by the way, a lot of this information here comes from an interview with a man named...
From their live journal.
Yes.
Archons loves NIN69 at live journal.
This comes from an interview with a guy named Jay Wiedner on a radio show called Rinse Radio. Want to give credit where credit is due on this one. So the Archons, they were whispered about in text after the burning...
This is that 45-minute long doc I sent you, right?
No, this is the transcript of the interview.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get into this.
Did not watch the 45-minute documentary.
I watched some of it. It's pretty good. A lot of text.
It's text. Not documentary if it's just text. Just write it down so I can just read it.
Yeah.
If
but they you don't just... get all the music. The music sets the vibe. The ding, ding, dong.
Archons.
Yeah.
If they just wrote it down, I could read it in 10 fucking minutes. Instead, you're making me watch a 45-minute long PowerPoint presentation.
And then it shows like pictures of Vietnam, like, you know, like all these serious things of all what Archons have done. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, how do we know about the Archons? Apparently, we all know about the burning of the libraries in Alexandria.
Yes.
All the world's knowledge up to a certain point was all lost. However, there were still whispers of the Archons, but the powers that be have spent the last 1300 years whitewashing the Archons from all recorded history. But in 1947, we found what Henry talked about earlier, the Nag Hammadi.
These were clay jars.
Yes,
and these are Sumerian texts that wrote about, they were the first collected history of humankind, and they're believed to have been free from the manipulation of the church or historians or anything.
Where were they
found? So we're getting
at?
The straight Egypt. Fucking juice.
Yeah, they this were found straight, in Egypt, okay. But they were written in Sumeria.
Oh, I think you're going to say written in crayon. Very interesting.
No, it was all written in cuneiform.
Cuneiform.
Yes, okay. That was the earliest known model of writing.
Okay.
Cuneiform.
Interesting.
So the Gnostics, back to the Gnostics, they preached that there was an invasion that occurred around 3600 BC, about 1600 years before the Nag Hammadi, and that they wrote it, that the invasion was like a virus. And they couldn't quite describe it, but the beings that they invaded, they called them Archons. And they said that the Archons had the ability to duplicate reality.
Oh.
And that they, the reason why they invaded us is that they were jealous because we have an essence, we have a soul, and the Archons don't have that. They have no essence. They have
no soul.
Because
they're cyborgs.
Yeah, they're half dead, yeah.
Yeah, half dead cyborg psycho-spiritual parasites.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're a big deal for them. I'm going to go whole castle to these people. Yeah. Oh, it'd be huge.
We're like the Michael Sam of the universe.
That's right.
So the Archons.
Big gay football player.
Yeah. Not very good, actually. Not very good at football.
Does it need to be?
Yeah.
He made a splash in the media.
He definitely did.
So the Archons, they duplicate reality, and then we, when we buy into their duplicated reality,
we make it real.
We make it real. We make the false state the reality. We make the duplicated.
No, right now I'm duplicating. Right now I'm just thinking: is this duplicity like that? What is it, Michael Keaton movie, or is it more like a Sliding Doors, the Gwyneth Paltrow?
It's like a Sliding Doors, but instead, like the thing is, you did go through the door.
I see.
Right?
Yeah,
you could go through the door, and you could go. Not through the door.
Yes,
we're
sure.
not. We didn't go on the we're date not, with Gwyneth Paltrow.
We
did not go on the date with Gwyneth Paltrow.
No,
Archons went on the date with Gwyneth Paltrow.
I see.
We,
but
are,
we feel like we did.
Yes. Maybe
they did. Okay.
Yes, but according to the text, they can also manipulate people to do things, things that are suddenly very odd. But they can also,
you know who? Do you know who they got? Was that Miley Cyrus?
Oh,
that says, well, we're look. That's an example.
Yeah.
Or
yes.
that Tom Cruise.
Tom
Cruise.
And I'll
Cruise. Tell you, Miss mm-hmm. Solange hasn't been acting right lately.
No, she's got a couple attacking. Archons up her pussy as well.
That's where they go.
Because that's how I feel like they attached right to your pussy. Your butthole.
Yes,
and
going
right
up.
Your butthole. But the other thing is that, but this is also very similar sort of to Thetans.
Yes, it is.
So
it's
this,
very similar.
Yes.
But however, these people weren't the creators of the Earth. They were merely people who were they were outside of the universe.
There was a virus that was jealous of our existence,
the
and
Archons.
So they showed up to take us.
Yeah, about, let's
Archons.
Say about 5,500 years ago.
So the one thing about the video that you sent, Henry, I did enjoy was the psychopath portion where they were discussing how all of our leaders in the world are psychopaths.
Yes.
So were they psychopaths before the Archons took them over?
No,
or did the Archons
made
psychopaths?
Them psychopaths. Before that, all human beings were fucking groovy.
Groovy
nice
divine
people.
Beings that right. were able to travel through dimensions and time.
And then, so what would, and they just did that because they wanted.
They were jealous.
Yeah, they're jealous.
They needed our grief,
like
right?
Solange
yeah.
right.
of Beyonce's career.
Solange Knowles,
so, but
yeah.
let's see, we could use that as an example. As
sure.
Well.
Yeah.
So, Beyonce's pure human.
Yeah.
Sure.
Solange. She's
Solange.
Got an alien up her pussy, and she got mad at Jay-Z, and Jay-Z is
Illuminati.
Barack Obama, but
now
before.
Okay, so
I don't think it worked. I don't think it worked.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
no.
I can bring it back. This is something we can all understand that the Archons are actually the ones that are responsible for the deterioration of our culture.
Okay.
Television
yeah,
is
the
an
voice,
archonic
the
imitation.
Voice is made by the Archons.
So like the liberal media is completely archoned up.
Well, here's what it is that humans are imitated on television, but the imitation is altered and is nearly always obscene and profane because the Archons do not only understand the sacred, but they hate it. They don't understand it, but they hate it.
But because we watch it on television, it's like when we are watching something. So according to this, when we watch something on television, the more attention we pay to it, we make it real. So it's like,
this is
yes,
true,
television
though.
is a mirror. The media is a mirror of what we do, but we're reinforcing the reality of the media the more we pay attention to it. And so the Archons are, I don't want to say like the Jew run media. Jew run media. But I do feel like there is a thing that we're getting to that, aren't we?
We're going
to
be, God damn it.
They
course,
always get
anti Semitic. Of course,
anti-Semitic.
We're going to be getting to that. Of course,
these
we're going to be getting
always,
to that.
Yeah.
Every time. But however, these people are kind enough to put aside a couple of good ones.
That's very nice.
We'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah.
But
that is a good point, though, Henry. You're right. We create the reality that we see on television. And right now, I'll tell you one thing. If I see one more old guy with a beard, it's all about old, ugly, white dudes with big beards. That's the new hot thing
it's
with reality
it's
television.
It's young guys with beards.
No, I'm telling you. It's all history. It's all these guys who are making moonshine.
You're talking about the duck men.
The
guys who do
dudes,
the duck
yes,
stuff.
They're all over the place. These old guys with the white beards.
Is it called DuckTales?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now
ugly,
we're getting,
though. They're all archoned up.
So now we're going to get into how the Archons fit into Judeo-Christian
I'm movies. In this duck hunter's beard. How I fooled you. I am the Archon.
So the Gnostics, back to them, they thought that Jehovah, which is the Hebrew name for God in the Old Testament, was actually an alien off-planet demon.
Of course, sure. Jay-Z also goes by Hova, which is shortened for Jehovah. So think about that.
Yeah, that's... Doesn't really connect.
Doesn't
but
matter.
It
but
could.
It still said words, though. Still did say words.
They say that he was a fake god, a masquerading archon. So that all of the bad things that come from Judeo-Christian knowledge actually come from the Old Testament, because Jehovah, the angry, avenging God, was actually an archon. However, Jesus Christ...
Uh-huh. Was he an archon?
God, no. He was not an archon at all. And in fact, he fought against the archons. But he, well, he kind of fucked up a little bit because he did defeat the archons. And that he, somehow, the archons got released from a prison. And by the way, that's probably what the
prison?
They say that that's probably what the Book of Enoch is about.
Yeah, but it's Jesus with nunchucks fighting babies with like little bat wings. And it's him just going like, I came here to swing nunchucks and fucking chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of fucking bubblegum. Yep. And he's like, oh, Jesus, you're fucking awesome.
Yeah,
Jesus,
cool.
You're fucking badass. And he's like, come kiss me, Christina Hendricks. And she's there. And he starts sucking on her tits so much.
Oh,
and he's like,
goodness.
I gotta go kick the ass of these babies. Wait for me, Christina Hendricks. She's like, but I can't. You never fucked because you're the pure one.
Oh, man. He's fucking. If I was an archon, I'd get all up in Christina Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And so, yeah, if you have an indie band or an improv group, Masquerading Akron?
Akron. No, wait. Archon.
Archon. Masquerading Archon is a good name, I think.
Okay, so the Archons, they were released from the prison, and then Jesus said that he would lock them...
Were they paroled? What did they do? What kind of prison was it? A baby prison?
It was just like another baby in a beat-up old ex-police car like in Blues Brothers, so they all just get... They all pile into it and just be like, where are we going? It's like, we're going to Chicago!
Yeah, this seems like an episode of Rugrats.
So Jesus, he said that they were supposed to be in the box until the end of time. That wasn't true.
They got out, and then they were...
Why even say they're going to be there till the end of time? Why lie?
He didn't know that he was lying. Technically, Jesus doesn't lie, so he just made a mistake.
Yeah, technically. So, the Archons got out, and...
But all this is true, right?
I just keep forgetting
that all this is true.
I mean, if the powers that be would ever let us read the fucking Book of Enoch, then we'd know. Mm. But we don't know.
Not yet.
Is it about the Nephilim? Is it about the Archons? We don't know, because they won't let us read it. All we have is little whisperings and little pieces
of
it.
You are covered in sweat.
Yeah, Marcus did just take off his hoodie. I mean, this is really getting intense in here.
I did have to take off my hoodie, yes. I'm getting very warm and worked up. So, the forces of Jehovah, the evil God, they conquered the forces of Jesus.
Okay, so Jehovah conquered some things.
So, Jehovah conquered some things. Jehovah conquered Jesus, and we've been in control of the Archons ever since.
But the Archons are in control of
the
us.
The Archons are in control. And you ask, who are the Archons now?
Can I ask that?
Now, is Jesus in, like, carbonite somewhere? Is that a part of the story?
Where like Jesus is, like, frozen? Like
No, Jesus is in the land of the one true God. And Jehovah is not the one true God.
Six Flags Atlanta.
I love Six Flags.
Yeah, because Jesus never refers to God as Jehovah.
Hey, Jesus, you're going to have to get off Batman the Ride. We got to close.
No, I just having so much fun.
It's your 15th time today, Jesus. Come on.
So you ask, who are the Archons now? Zionists. It's always Zionists. It's always it comes back to the Jews.
Why is this? Why do we have to do this?
I don't know why.
Don't you know
always go
that
there?
Like you can't? We cannot continue with your theory. We're trying to spread the truth to people, but as soon as you bring the Jews into it,
it's never
we
positive.
Have to stop.
Every time we have to stop. However, they do say, and this one is slightly different.
Well, the best way to stop an Archon is you got to stomp on one of their tiny hats. They got.
Best way to stop an Archon is to wave a penny under his nose. Throw it down a sewer grate. He'll go down there and you don't gotta wait for him no
All
more.
Right, take it easy. Good God.
So, these people, these Archons, they actually adopted Judaism, and they used Judaism to beat people over the head with it. The Talmudic stuff, the Old Testament stuff, but they do subscribe to the good ones theory, and that there are some good Jews out there, but the Talmudic Zionists are the bad Jews.
But Jews don't really evangelize that much.
They do not.
It's very difficult to become Jewish.
Well, Zionist, that also works. Zionist means like the Israel thing and all that, so that's what they're talking about.
It's just some guy who's mad at Bank of America. That's all this is.
And so they say that they're not doing any of this with stealth now. They're out in the open. The Zionists are saying,
all
let's make
Jews
it in Israel.
All these Jews just prancing around celebrating Hanukkah.
Yep. They say that they're pushing it in the faces of the ever dumber and helpless American populace.
I thought it was like Citizens United and stuff like that that was ruining the country. I had no idea.
Oh, no. It's the Archons.
That's so much more reasonable.
It's these invisible babies that run our television. Oh, this see. Is what...
The invisible half-dead, half-alive cyborg
Stop
babies.
Being fucking stupid.
I'm trying to learn.
So how...
That would be amazing trap to get all the Archons to get... Again, Christina Hendricks. Drop her top for the first time and out in front of the Chinese theater in L.A. All the babies that come shooting out of the woodwork to suck on them big old melons.
Oh, my goodness. That would be great. Some adults.
Free lunch in Los Angeles, yes. Yeah. Madman's Christina Hendricks. She's got milk for weeks.
But they don't like milk. They like grief. So it'll just have to be Christina Hendricks, like, fully clothed and just a bunch of dudes staring at her. And he's just like, yes, yes, do not take your clothes off. They are full of grief. So man, I love that woman. Let's just think about an actual hot, naked woman for a
just
second.
Just come on. No, all right, we can't. We don't have time.
All right.
So, how do we stop the Archons?
This is a good question.
That's the okay. So, the Gnostics.
Well, don't say their name, number one.
Oh, yeah. Ankle biters.
Flamethrowers.
That's good.
Boots. Big boots.
Yeah.
The Archons believe that they were advanced beings. That there are advanced beings in the universe who actually care for us, and that there was a bet made between the Archons and these advanced beings that human beings would eventually overcome the Archons on their own without their help to become the divine beings that we once were.
A bet?
So we gotta pull ourselves up by the bootstraps.
Yeah.
Is it like a Freddie Prinze Jr. movie where they take an ugly girl and make her hot just to ask her to prom not to show up?
No.
A bet.
It's more like a movie where the rich son gets thrown out on his ass. It's Coming to America. That's what it is.
Oh, I see.
Yes. I will go to Queens. That's what it is. The rich guy has to go out and make it on his own.
I'm glad we're just in an Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh, I love those Eddie Murphy movies. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the one thing we know is that the Archons, what they hate more than anything after love is courage.
They don't like courage.
They don't like courage. They hate courage so much. They cannot stand up to courage. We're the ones.
I don't think they can stand up, period.
They're babies.
They're half dead. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to think about Christina Hendricks' moisture hole a little bit more.
So what you have to do, you just have to get rid of the fake. You have to stay in the now. You have to stay in the real. You got to get rid of all the phony people in your life. You got to get rid of your television. You got to keep the internet, though, because otherwise no one...
How are you going to get updates from Billy Oteka Pleiades?
No, because the internet, that's a tool, man.
I see.
Television is not a tool. In fact, the guy that did this interview...
I've seen a lot more twisted, fucked up things on the internet than I ever did on TV.
As have I. One would argue that the internet is a much bigger generator of negativity than the television could ever be.
I think so, yeah.
But the guy that actually did this interview, he even said that he once did a segment for the History Channel in which he was trying to talk about the positivity, but through horrible editing techniques and terrible music, they were able to make him sound scary, thereby furthering the Archon agenda. So he's done with TV. He's never going back to TV. And I get it. Get it.
So does that wrap up the journey of the Archons we can do to stop them?
Well, yeah, just know that you also have to watch out for cell phone radiation, elves, EMFs, Gwen Towers, heart projects.
We know all this.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
of course. That's why I sit in my apartment with no clothes on.
This guy
I'm covered in saran wrap.
This guy is just a disgruntled talking head.
Yes.
Yeah. He just got upset with the way a producer edited him in a program.
Because he got cut out of Ancient Aliens.
Oh, my God.
Well, he didn't
That's
necessarily
what this is all about.
He didn't get cut out. They just made him sound scary.
He also didn't even say Ancient Aliens. It could have been World's Dumbest Criminals.
It's very possible.
Really, no, that's on True TV. He said History Channel.
Okay,
specifically
yes.
History Channel. Yeah. So, yeah. Tsoukalakis and Hammer, not friends.
Okay. All right, so we're ready to go on to the next thing we've learned about. We got to rip through this.
Yeah, man, we went to evil. Let's go for good.
Now, okay, guys, yes, it seems overwhelming.
I'm
the Archons,
stressed, yeah.
Archons are coming after us. They're up in our pussies. They're up in our buttholes, making us psychopaths.
Feel
but
it.
There is help on the way.
Oh, thank God.
A recently illuminated member of society, R. Scott Lemriel, recently went into Coast to Coast AM to illuminate the world about the Say-Raise agenda. Now, the Say-Raise agenda, good news, folks. It's going to help us, right? The Say-Raise, first of all, I'm just going to go on and say it's real.
Sure,
okay?
Yeah.
We're living a fucking lie. Mm-hmm. All right, human beings are living half a life.
Right.
Okay? Oh, interesting.
The Say-Raise are a human race, right? They are humanoid. They're 25 feet tall. They can fly. They're 1,000 years old. They can live up to 1,000. They're telepathic. They can heal themselves. They can jump out of their own bodies, right? Human race.
How are they human?
They are humans.
They're 25. They're going
to
fly.
We're going to figure out. We're going to see all this, right? They're coming to help us, okay? For a long time.
I mean, it sounds terrifying.
Shut up. You don't even know.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You don't know. No, no. Have you ever seen the movie Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader?
Yeah, but that was scary.
Big, awesome boobs in it.
Really big.
Imagine
but so big that you can't even see
a race of them. So they helped human beings evolve a long time ago. They came. Human beings are here. What they do is they are a part of a thing called the Galactic Interdimensional Council of Free Worlds, right? Which is a group of 450 million benevolent humanoid and non-humanoid bipedal and non-bipedal races that live just in our arm of the Milky Way. Now, this is a part of Galactic Federation. That's sci-fi.
I mean, if this is true, then there just has to be a huge, like, sash factory someplace.
There is.
There's definitely sashes, and there's a lot of badges that go along
sashes
with
sashes and hats and stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, it was revealed to R. Scott Lemriel that the Say-Raise, they helped us evolve, and then they, for no reason, disappeared. Possibly to go watch a baseball game. A big, giant baseball game with 25-foot
bats. Yeah.
And then when they left, a group of They call them the Terrillimex, but they mean reptilians. A group of reptilian-like entity showed up while human beings was in its fledglings and put a psychic program genome into our DNA that made us not be 25 feet tall. It made us tiny. Made us super tiny.
Why would it make us tiny?
Because we're not as cool then.
I see.
Made us not telepathic. We cannot fly. And what Lemriel has come back to say we are set. The Say-Raise have popped into another dimension. They've come back to our dimension with the laser beam that will destroy this genome in our brains, and not only in us, but also reptilians, making them vegetarian iguanas and making us cool.
Ah, and we can fly.
We'll be like Teen Wolf.
Ooh, okay.
We will turn into a bunch of party animals.
Good at basketball.
So basically, you know, because the rundown of it is that Earth is a part of, we're the center of a bunch of different interdimensional portals. Now, this was all revealed to R. Scott Lemriel after he tried his first beer. So he was saying, R. Scott Lemriel, do we want to play? And he said, R. Scott Lemriel is a really interesting. He wrote this book called The Say-Raise Agenda, which is garbage.
Oh, I thought you were going to say self-published.
Like, no.
Definitely say self-published.
I want to read a little bit of what R. Scott Lemriel thinks of himself.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine. It's an addiction. It's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy. Because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LastPod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LastPod. No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
I would love to hear what this guy thinks of himself.
He writes in the so he wrote this book called The Savory's Agenda. It was about the revelation of this information to him, and basically it's all about this man named Mark Santfield, who is his, I guess, his double.
Santfield, not Stanfield.
Stanfield.
Mark Stanfield. Okay, so this is the body double.
So this is how it
begins. Let's call him Avatar.
Okay,
yes, Avatar. Yes. So we'll begin how this is how the book begins. Right. Chapter 1, Taken Beyond Earth. A sleek, silvery disc-shaped ship speeding through space, illumined around its entire circumference with a pale blue light, swiftly passed by the planet Mars, and then it darted in a streak of light into the distant black void between countless stars. Inside, a lone alien pilot looked down and grinned with satisfaction at the blinking, faceted, spherical blue crystal in the center of his semicircular, crystalline control console. Good! The one the Galactic Council selected is located. He will help. He must, he thought to himself with some relief. Silently reflecting on the swift accomplishment, the visitor reached down at waist level to place his right palm with spread fingers into the right illumined golden quartz crystal hand impression, and it brightened, passing light through his translucent skin. At ground level, the misty sprinkling of tiny warm raindrops hitting the man's upturned face was refreshing, and the midsummer air was rich with the scent of ozone. God, I needed this after all those months of madness in the city. Mark Sandfield felt relieved by the thought as he peered deeper into his recollection of the past 3 months living under the smoggy skies of Los Angeles. That hint, that stint in the city was part of the research he was conducting for his new book about a suspected malevolent extraterrestrial presence operating behind a shadowy, hidden government on Earth. He had already interviewed several dozen people, men, women, and even a few children, who all claimed that they had been abducted by aliens and mistreated in some form or another.
Can I agree with Katie here, with your girlfriend?
Yeah, stop it.
You gotta stop. Stop it. You just gotta stop it.
So it's like, so he...
Get to the meat, man!
He starts talking about how he... This is just in the book. I just love this so much. He's talking about, you know, oh, it'd be so crazy. Oh, these people believe they've been abducted. They're absolutely crazy. And so he cuts to him. He glanced up at the sky and appreciatively gazed upon the forest and mountaintops and verdant valleys that surrounded him. He took in a deep breath of the clean mountain air, grinned like an imp, and then started to joyfully sing with childlike abandon the old cheerful classic lyrics to the Song of the South. Zippity doo dah, zippity yay. My oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine coming my way. Zippity doo dah, zippity yay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder.
Right. Wow, he really does sing it, huh?
It's actual. Yeah, really. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity doo dah, zippity yay. My oh my, what a wonderful. Oh, shit. And then he speaks
well,
up
guy,
an alien.
That guy has never actually spoken to a human being in his life, huh? Wow, that
he
is...
Wrote, it's like half a page. It's just
the sun. Well, I'm just filling up this page.
But that's just to that's set up great. More about him. Do you want to play? And so he was inspired. So he met this alien named Monka. Who in true
Monka
story
the alien.
So in real life, he fell asleep after trying his first beer. He got a download of information from an alien called Monka, and then a bunch of alien spaceships shot up. This was all after his first choir practice in elementary school.
Interesting.
Fucking loser.
Yeah.
He said that he looked up in the sky and saw 15 UFOs do a dance for him, and then they bowed.
Oh, wow. Isn't that nice?
You know, I will say, the very first time that I ever got super drunk, I saw a UFO.
Sure, yeah.
What did it do, Marcus?
It just went zibba, 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 back and forth, and then it flew into the air.
Yep.
I drank whiskey.
Yeah, I think you were in the back of a pickup truck, and those were street lights. That's fine.
So this guy, R. Scott Limriel, you know, of course, he obviously has some appreciation for music. So much so that he wrote an album called Stranger on a Lost Island.
Now, this is directly inspired by the Say Rays, who've been speaking to him for some time. What I've noticed, a lot of times if you look up different alien races, you'll see other people writing about it. Nobody else talks about the Say Rays.
No.
Say Rays, very underreported, huh?
Only one.
Interesting.
And, this is a song.
It's almost like he just made it up. You know? Weird. Now that is possible.
This is a track. This is a very short clip from his album. You can go to paralleltime.com/strangeronalostislandmusiccd.html hear the whole album if you'd like. But this is a short clip from the song The Light and Sound Wizard.
Wow. Oh my god. Oh man, this makes Jimmy Buffett sound good.
I'm by the light and sound wizard.
I love it, man.
Oh yeah, so
yeah, that's and you know, and there's other other hit tracks on the album like Dreaming Again of the Elves, Rainbows in the Sun, The Jester and the Fool.
Oh my.
Sunya's Song and Dance Upon the Wind.
Yeah, you know that Sunya never heard that song because he kept trying to invite her to the open mic at the coffee shop near his house, and she kept being like, "I'm kind of tired. I don't think I can go." It's just like, "You've got to come, Sunya. The Say Rays demand it." But no, so basically, so it, another thing he basically talks about is that what the Sayrays basically have done is they have permanently stopped the destructive cycle going on Earth. Every 100,000 years, our poles shift, right? And so what the Sayrays have done is they fixed that. And now
well,
what
they
got to do.
It?
I don't know. He keeps, he just drops stuff. So he said they fixed that, right? And the other thing.
But the whole world's at war constantly.
No.
Well, that's what the where the Archons come in.
But if they don't, not according to the Sayrays.
So the Sayrays have beaten the Archons, and now we're at peace.
You could say the way you can combine these two thoughts is that the Archons are the psychological programming that's been put into us by another race, known as the Trillelmians.
Yeah, those are the Reptilians.
Right? But he kept saying this thing about how Earth has been finally greenlit for the Sayrays' agenda, which is they're going to come in, they're going to shoot us with their mind lasers, make us cool again, right? Because the problem is that Earth has this constant cycle. He keeps... This is as much sense as it makes.
Yeah.
And that he'll keep... Because Earth's got this 100,000-year cycle. It killed the dinosaurs. It's going to kill us again. But the Sayrays are making sure that it doesn't happen because what they want from us, they want us to bump up to the next level. And the only way they can do that is they have to zap the fucking evil programming out of our head. And then they can reveal themselves to us in a grand gesture.
I mean, join a gym. This guy needs to...
Yes, but between this and then... So... Going back to Harry Truman, right?
Right.
How did we get to Truman?
That easily. So a long time ago, do you remember, we've talked about this many times.
Yeah, Truman in our Pleiadians episode.
Yes. Truman made an agreement with the Greys that we would get a certain amount of... We would get a certain amount of alien technology, and they get a certain amount of humans that they're allowed to abduct and experiment. But they're supposed to wipe their memories and bring them back.
Is this where the bomb came from?
This is after the bomb. Because what happened
is 1954.
What the Sayrays' agenda fills out is that the Sayrays actually came to them first, or the Pleiadians. Technically, we said the Pleiadians, but that's wrong because
the Pleiadians gave Truman technology, which then did lead to TV.
The Sayrays showed up,
and now we begin our segment. Let's reconcile.
So the Sayrays showed up and said, "We will invite you to be a part of the Galactic Interdimensional Council of Free Worlds, but which provides for you, you know, free Wi-Fi, free Subway sandwiches, lots of there's a lot of membership perks. But what you have to do is you have to give up all your nuclear bombs." And Truman's like, "We just got them. Damn it.
You don't want to give them up."
Yeah, so they didn't take it, and so they made an agreement with the Greys after the Greys basically said to them, like, "If you don't take this arrangement, we're going to make an arrangement with the Russians." But it turns out those sneaky Greys had already made an arrangement with the Russians, so you're playing everybody, right? So what they're trying to say now is we just have to hold on tight for the Sayrays to complete the process because they are already in, he said, the beginning stages of wiping out evil in other parts of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're on the fucking docket.
So the Sayrays are like Mark Cuban on the show Shark Tank.
Yes.
So he's just trying to get people to make a deal. I see.
It doesn't necessarily... Pleiadians could just be one of the benevolent races of the 450 million benevolent races.
Well, according to what we've studied before, and I use the term studied very loosely, that what we've studied before is that there are 16 races out there, not 450 million.
That's a lot of races, 450 million.
You don't know.
I mean, I don't... It's very difficult to know, yeah. So they gave us all this technology, and then that's what we got television from? And then we just used it to make shows like All in the Family?
This is in 1954.
Right, but I mean, really.
Maybe color television.
Sure, yeah.
Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi came from them.
And cellular telephones.
Yeah.
But they didn't come until
Oculus
much later.
Oculus Rift.
but why didn't we just have them in 56 then?
Because we weren't ready.
We weren't ready to understand.
So what? When did we make the deal? In the 80s? When America was just making a bunch of deals?
No. We haven't even seen the stuff that the Sayrays first
yet.
Gave them.
Oh, I see.
No, you know, they're letting it trickle out because they know they're making money on it. It's like what Apple does. They can make a new iPhone the size of your fucking head of your dick? You know what I mean? You know that they can make that if they want to.
I mean, I don't think anyone would want to put something that's in the shape of a head of a penis next to their ear. But
basically, until then, the only thing that Mr. Scott Lemriel says we can do is bide our time. And until then, listen to his music, and we're under constant threat of reptilian attack and gray attack. And so at some point, he was talking with George, and he's just like, "And there is a special word
that you can say and use. It's a mantra that you can use. Can't be copyrighted by any country. It is an intergalactic language. Mm. And George is like, what is it? What's the word? Do I have to drag it out of you? And he's just like, all you have to do is think a positive thought. Think about your wife. Think about a food that you like. This is literally what he said. Anything you like. And anytime you are under threat of alien abduction, you just have to go... And he did that for a little while, and George, I could see, like, I don't know, I barely know what George did, but I could see the look on his face through the radio, and him just being like, so you just say the word hue at them. And he's like, no, it's hue. And he's like, you know what? There's a lot of things, a lot of fantastic things we've heard tonight. But the one thing I will not believe is that we can fend off an alien attack with some kind of sound, some kind of mantra. We need a gun. Because
it seems to be working. I feel good. Yeah. I feel better. What did you think about, Marcus?
And then later I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to think about pizza.
I'm thinking about spaghetti.
Ooh, that's good. Ooh, Christina Hendricks.
And then later on, a caller called in, and he's just like, again, George, hey, thank you so much. First time caller, long time listener. Just want to say again, thank you so much for having me on the show. So you just say the word hue to beat the aliens. He's like, no. You don't just say the word hue. You go, hue. And then the guy's like, yeah. You mean like, hue. It's like, exactly.
No, like, hue.
Like, hue.
So it's like, hue. No. Hue. Now, I swear I'm saying it right, George, so... Oh, shit, they got me. I must have said it all wrong.
What did George say about, like, he mentioned a movie, right?
Oh, yeah, he's like, I have to say, I refuse to believe. Have you seen that classic Will Smith film, Independence Day? When those aliens come, we can't just say hue with these aliens. Right. We need a rocket launcher.
Yeah. Absolutely. I saw Mars Attacks, and I'll tell you. Yeah, and I do agree. I would say George Norrie is correct.
Yeah, and the perfect scenario
in this situation.
So what he did to get through it all is that when he,
we're going back to the author here.
Scott Lemriel wrote about a character named Mark Sandfield. He was talking about when he was first being cleansed. This is the type of scenario you have to be careful of.
Well, explain what Mark Sandfield looks like.
Mark Sandfield is 6'3", blonde of hair, slight cleft chin, with his beautiful young fiance, Janice Younger.
Janice Younger?
It's just
Mark Lanreel on the other. Mr. Lanreel, on the other hand, is 5'4".
Uh-huh.
Little of hair. Tucked in shirt.
Are you looking at a picture of him?
Tucked in shirt. Acid wash jeans.
I fucking love it.
Janice Younger is the grossest name I've ever heard.
So at this point, Mark Sandfield is on the Sayre spaceship with an alien called Mortlan, right? Mortlan. They call me Mortlan, but you can call me Morty.
So the names are Mortland, Munka. Munka, Stanfield,
and then
Younger.
There's a woman one named like Juniper Sundimus. Sundima is the female one.
Okay.
She's leading Mark Sandfield through this. He's got a crystal hat on.
That's heavy.
And it's just heavy.
Yeah.
And he's helping him cleanse his soul of this bad psychic patches.
Sure.
In his DNA. The scene on the surrounding panels changed once more, and the man was now standing spread eagle, tied with thick ropes to several crude wooden posts in a prehistoric alien jungle setting. The same two reptilian captors approached him, brandishing long, curved, double-edged swords, crude, jagged-edged saws. They were laughing at the man's dire dilemma as their long, forked tongues dripping with sticky saliva sipped in and out of their mouths, sadistically licked the sides of the man's cheeks. The man convulsed and vomited from the stench of reptilian breath. Then Mark heard the taller captor say in a deep, guttural voice with hellish glee, "Which part shall we eat first? Should it be the eyes? Oh, yes, the eyes are very tasty."
Oh, yeah, sure.
The other captor chimed in, drooling,
I'm gonna rip off your arm, human, and eat it in front of your crude, fragile face. But first, let me remind you, puny thing, if you attempt to remember again who you are, then this is what will happen to you. The taller reptilian bipedal demon thrust forward both his long green arms and grasping five-fingered razor-sharp claws ripped out both of the man's eyes and sucked them down his throat to the ends of his bloody fingertips. This is all, it's just terribly written.
It just sounds like a penthouse forum.
And it's terribly written. Yeah, so he was saved by it, because basically what he said is that the reason why the reptilians, the reason why we've been made so small, and this is literal, I should have said this before, the reason why they want to keep us small is because we're easier to eat. The reptilians are
more
using
like
us
a
like
veal?
A grocery store. Like, they say that Earth is here as a grocery store, but technically, we are a Switzerland that cannot be touched according to the rules of the Galactic Interdimensional Council of Free Worlds.
Uh-huh.
But the reptilians do anything they can to get their way around the rules.
So used to be Sam's Club size.
Yeah.
And now we're 7-Eleven size.
Maybe there's an obesity epidemic with the reptilians, do you think? Or
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh. Well, that is all true, and it's just so interesting. We're just all a little piggly wiggly, you know?
I'm confused.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And remember, everyone, but please,
that's okay.
Send us
You remember.
Yeah, your notes. Send us your notes as to what you think we said. Post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, this is this is as much as we know. We were going to talk about the Mexican government coming forth with a big release of documents from the Mayan ages saying that UFOs are real.
That would have been a more intelligent conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is, go forth, remember.
Yeah.
All these realities could be real if you are dumb.
That's oh, man, if you're dumb, life is so much fun. All right, so,
I'm exhausted.
Get the Archons out of your body. Get the, what's the name of these?
Sayrays, get their help.
Yeah, get the Sayrays help.
The Wilt Chamberlains of the sky.
That's right. thanks so much for
listening. Aliens, huh? It just doesn't get easier to explain.
Yeah, hail Satan,
it gets
everybody.
Harder every time we try. But
yeah.
It's just...
I've never talked about a subject and learned less. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
That book is 1,200 pages long.
Well, because he writes like a jackass.
I read like 120 pages of it last night, and I'm I'm tired.
You know, it's exhausting.
I feel run down.
It's exhausting. Yeah.
All right. Goodness. Well, hail Satan, everybody.
Hail Gain.
Join the Facebook group. Yeah. Please review us on iTunes.
And this week, please review us on iTunes. This Saturday, we have...
Last Podcast on the Left Live.
Last Podcast on the Left Live. And, you know, I found out there was a little confusion is that we're not necessarily the last Thursday.
We're the fourth Saturday.
We're the fourth Saturday of every month. Sometimes it's the last, sometimes it's not. So, yeah. This Saturday, 10 p.m., Creek in the Cave, 1093 Jackson Avenue. Go to creeklic.com. For more information, live show.
Magustalations.
Magustalations. Henry loves you on Twitter. Marcus Parks on Twitter. I'm Ben Kessel on Twitter. Hail yourselves. And hope to see you all on
Hail
Saturday.
Me. Again. Come out and smell us.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And not one talk about the Archons.
No.
On the live
show. We'll see what happens.
No.
Any surprises
you get one video. Henry, you get one video on the Archons. So that's it.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.